Hi, I'm Eric Dama, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, we had a great discussion last week.
Yeah, we're really charged up about walking in the Spirit.
Yes, amen. That's right. Now, today we're going to be looking at the very next verse where we see the contrast between flesh and spirit. And I'll just read it and then have you comment. I'll read verse 16 where we'd left off. We left off last week with verse 16 of Galatians 5, where Paul said, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." Now into verse 17, he says, "For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please."
Yes.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah, that's heavy, isn't it?
I think I'm probably pretty close to accurate when I say nearly every Christian, when we're new and we first find this verse, it causes all kinds of questions.
Right, right.
We usually think, well, yeah, that's the way it is, but why?
Right, right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Why are we in this conflict?
Right.
And then there are theological positions that deny what this is saying.
Yeah, right.
I ran into perfectionists when I was a fairly new Christian.
Yeah.
They deny there is any old nature or any flesh.
Right.
That we only have one nature, which is the new one, so therefore there's no reason we can't just make the right choices and be perfected.
Perfected here and now.
Yeah, and they don't like this verse, and they tend to, nowadays, attack the idea by attacking the NIV translation.
Okay, all right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, which says sinful nature instead of flesh.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I don't use the NIV.
Right.
There's a few times I've found it to be the best, and I may use it for a verse.
Right.
But we're using the New American Standard.
Yeah, amen.
Okay. And we're just using the term Paul used, sarx in the Greek, flesh.
Flesh, yeah.
What is he telling us?
Yeah.
Well, verse 16, command, walk in the Spirit.
Right, right.
And then it says, you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh.
Right, right.
Why? For. Now we have here
explanatory for, don't we?
An explanatory. And the flesh, that's gar, by the way, in the Greek.
Sure.
Lusts, epithumeo, against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, the New American Standard has the word Spirit capitalized, and I know that's also part of the discussion over the years.
Right.
Is that our human spirit?
Right.
Of course, you have the passage in 1 Corinthians that says, he that's joined the Lord is one spirit. So we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And it's the Holy Spirit we're commanded to walk.
Right.
After. So I think that you have the right idea here with the New American Standard capitalizing.
Yeah, I do too, and it fits in the context with walking in the Spirit, the Spirit of the Spirit.
Yeah, and see, another false teaching that I heard early in my Christian life was an anatomical understanding of this.
Right, right.
So the flesh would be the outer man.
Right.
The soul is caught between the outer man and the inner.
Right, right.
And the inner is the Spirit where everything's perfected.
Yeah, right.
And so then you have anatomical sanctification.
Right. I remember you telling me that. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Watchman Nee is where I learned it.
Okay.
And I listened to that for years before I finally gave up.
Yeah.
Despaired that I could ever know what's the difference between my soul and my spirit. And
sure.
Always follow these inner voices.
And that's why they're hardcore trichotomists, aren't they? They have to have...
Yeah, they have to have that to support this theory.
Yeah.
But let's just kind of erase our mind of all that stuff momentarily.
Yeah.
And try to understand what Paul means.
Right.
Okay. Now, he's used the term flesh before.
Yeah.
We defined it last week.
Yep.
the whole person. So there you get rid of the anatomical aspect of it. The whole person oriented to self-will and self-indulgence.
Right.
That was one of the definitions I found. That's I think it's a good one.
It is.
And the person who's not listening to the will of God, but walking after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life.
Right.
In 1 John. And so the flesh would be the person oriented.
Right.
We mentioned a little bit Romans 7.
Right, right.
You've been studying that?
Yes.
Paul's lament.
Right.
Okay, so the flesh is a real issue.
It is.
The desires of the flesh are real in the Christian.
Yeah.
Okay. And the command of God to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And later we'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh.
Right, right.
We can't just make this all spiritualized and impractical. We need to get it for what it says, even if it's startling.
Right, right.
Even if it puts the fear of God in us.
Yeah, which it should. Yeah.
Which it should.
Right. You know, Bob, now, with this realm of the flesh, the whole person, which is has an inclination against the things of God, self-willed to rule our own lives, what's so interesting to me about that, the usage of the flesh by Paul throughout Galatians, is law works are part of that. And so, meaning, if you think you can somehow justify yourself by doing certain deeds, rather than relying upon the graciousness of God, that's part of the flesh. That's integral to the situation that's going on here, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't help but think of Romans.
Yeah.
When we're talking about
this. It's so apropos, isn't it?
And I've taught through Romans so many times in my Christian ministry.
Right.
I've
You're thinking of Romans 8.
I've lost track of how many times.
Yeah.
It says here, for while we were in the flesh, Romans 7:5, the sinful passions, which were aroused by the law, were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death.
Wow.
Verse 8 is the one that I found some good material from Leon Morris about.
Yeah.
But sin, taking opportunity through the commandments, produced in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Taking opportunity is, in the Greek, means setting up a base of operations.
That's right.
And so it's like a machine gun turret.
Right, right.
And it's shooting you down.
Sure. So it did that through the law.
Yeah.
Right. Because of our sinfulness.
Right. Amen. Exactly. The law is holy. The law is good.
Right. It's us. We're the problem.
Paul said, I'm born under sin.
Right, right.
Paul says in Romans 7:18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. Now let's compare that to our verse. Okay, that was Romans 7:18.
Right, right.
Compare that to Galatians 5:17.
Yeah.
For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and a spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please.
Wow, wow, very powerful.
So, the willing, and here the please, the things you please, is thelo.
Sure.
The will, that you don't, you can't do what you will. Now, it seemed like a pretty serious conflict.
Right.
If you will something but can't do it.
Right, right. Inability.
But God in Romans is telling us that Paul willed to do what's right.
Yeah.
But
couldn't do
covetousness
it.
Would never go away.
Right. He couldn't overcome it in his sinful flesh, right?
Yeah. And he answers Romans 8, which is the walk of the Spirit.
Amen. In fact, I was gonna mention, Bob, great connection to this idea of the flesh and how it affects human sinfulness or the relationship to our minds and the system of the flesh. He says this in Romans 8:7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And then it says, it goes on to say, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So again,
Human inability.
Human inability. And he says in the very next verse, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. That's what we need, the system of the spirit.
Well, here's Romans 7:21. Let's just make more commentary from Romans on Galatians.
Amen.
I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good.
Mm, wow.
It says in Romans 5:17, you cannot do what you wish.
Right, right.
The assumption is the Christian wishes to do what's good, right, and holy.
Right, right. Yes. Amen.
There's a conflict.
Right, there's a battle.
We get derailed.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. We need God to help us.
Right. And that's a great antithesis. I love that. Romans 7, we see the attempt to work out in our salvation through the law. We get to Romans 8, we see the remedy. Who will set me free, he asks. Well, it's the Spirit. And God's Spirit is the one who brings us to faith in Jesus Christ. And we have the sufficiency of Christ
in
Romans 8.
That's why we must walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
That's why Luther was right. He said the Holy Spirit comes to us through the Word.
Amen.
So if I'm experiencing this, which we all do, the conflict, I should be more motivated to be devoted to the apostles' teaching.
Right, exactly.
To fellowship, to breaking bread and prayer.
Right.
I should be feeding the truth into my heart and mind.
Wow.
And having a situation where I'm praying for other Christians and they're praying for me.
Amen.
And we're doing those things that would be indicative of what the Holy Spirit gives to us as Christians.
Yeah.
It comes to us through the Word.
Right, right.
But in these passages, both in Galatians 5 and in Romans 7, the law is associated with the flesh.
Amen. That's right.
That's just what it is saying.
Yep.
Now, we certainly invite our listeners to do theological studies.
Right, right. That's
right. We have found a lot of help. Eric's been using the commentary by Douglas Moo.
Yes, excellent.
On Romans, a scholar.
Yeah.
I found great help with Leon Morris.
Yes, he's
for
excellent.
All the commentaries I've read on Romans, the most influential was Morris.
Was that the Pillar series?
No, when it first came out, it wasn't in a series, but it became the Pillar one.
Oh, okay.
And I just about wore mine out as dog years.
Sure, yeah, Leon Morris. Beautiful.
I now, in my loghouse, have Douglas Moo, so I'm looking forward, Eric, to when you start preaching through Romans, I'll follow along in Moo.
That's right. It'll be a lot of fun.
I didn't have that back in the 80s when I started this process.
Yeah. You know what's so wonderful, Bob, is we're getting better sources and more sources all the time.
Yeah,
we put
and
them all together.
The access to the Greek.
Yeah.
Because when I learned Greek in the early 70s, it was all dependent on memorization and then slowly and meticulously looking up things in the paper printed tools we had.
Lexicons, exactly.
Yeah, so I had the ability, if I wanted to look into a lot of books, which I had and have, to find out how to parse out any given word.
Right, it takes time.
To look up meanings or what have you. But all of that now with the Logos software is at my fingertips, and it's right there all the time.
It's beautiful, isn't
and
it?
And I've been doing that for a few years, and I'm finding that all this Greek is starting to come back to me.
Yeah, right. It's exciting.
And it's faster. And so I just rejoice in that. And why not use the tools?
Exactly.
Well, people say, well, aren't you depending on something besides the Holy Spirit?
Nope.
No. The Holy Spirit comes to us through the Word. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit inspired the New Testament writers to write in Greek.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay?
That's right.
And if we have an opportunity to go back to the original languages and use it astutely, it just helps us know the author's meaning.
Exactly.
We're always on a search for the author's meaning.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? Yep. And so here, Paul's meaning, the desire against of the spirit versus the flesh, means there's a conflict. Believers are conflicted.
Right.
If we didn't have this, we might think, you know, it's just me.
Yeah.
That's what I first thought.
Right, right. It's encouraging in a sense.
Yeah, that you way, see, I guess I'm the only conflicted believer. Everybody else is just all downhill and with the wind.
Yeah.
There's a guy that used to come to our meetings yeah. in the 70s.
Yeah.
And that was his positive confession.
Right.
Everything is downhill and with the wind. That's all there is downhill with the wind.
A cheerful fellow, huh?
Well, I like his
yeah.
idea, you know, but...
Right, life isn't always
that
easy.
Sometimes there's some real conflicts that we have to deal with, and yeah. one of them is the conflict between the flesh and the spirit. So
right.
in my notes, I said there are two sets of strong desires operating in the believer, and this yeah. is an ongoing conflict.
Right. You know, Bob, it's interesting, too. There's this purpose clause at the end of verse 17, so that I would imagine in the Greek, I don't have it in front of me, but hina, probably, so that you may not do the things.
Yes, hina.
Yeah, so that you may not do the things that you please.
Stay low.
Yeah, so this idea you were just mentioning, that has to do with the will, and our will isn't always the will of God, is it? So there is a battle between our will
yeah.
and trying to usurp
well,
the...
Well, we can abstractly think... I want to perfectly please God in everything.
Right.
I think that's what Paul was talking about.
Yeah, right.
That's what he's talking about here, both in right. Romans 7 and Galatians 5.
Exactly.
But it's not what happens.
Right. We fall. Yep, we fall short because of our desires.
Yeah, and yeah. Satan is who?
Yeah, he's the deceiver, isn't
the
he?
The accuser of the brethren.
Yeah, amen. Wow.
And he's reminding us what miserable failures we are.
Hmm. Wow.
And how do we overcome the accuser? Do we say, well, you know, Mr. Accuser, you forgot to take into account all the good things I did last week.
That doesn't get us very far, does it?
Does that do it?
No.
But what does it say in Revelation? How did they overcome him?
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. That's right. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, Bob, that's wonderful. Yeah,
and so, yeah, I appeal to the blood atonement, not to look at my good points.
Right, right. It always drives us back to the gospel and our salvation and the sufficiency of Christ.
So here's this willingness to say, yes, I want to please God.
Yeah.
At least intellectually.
Right.
But it's not exactly what always happens.
Right, right.
There's the battle.
Yep.
Okay. And I wanted to quote Timothy George.
Right, great scholar.
Which is another commentary I have on Galatians. Which he had a good commentary in Galatians,
he did,
right?
Yeah.
He says this, quote, so long as we remain in this present life, we never outgrow or transcend the spiritual conflict Paul was describing in this passage. There is no spiritual technique or second blessing that can propel the believer onto a higher plane of Christian living where this battle must no longer be fought.
Wow, I love that. Amen.
Yeah, and so people are peddling these things.
Yeah, they're always peddling a
and
second
blessing.
And they
may blessing. Be mystical things like theophostic ministry.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There's got to be some reason for this. It must be found in my past.
Right, right.
Well, going into your past when it's under the blood is really a bad idea. Okay?
Yeah.
And these counseling theories or second blessing theories,
yeah,
or whatever. No, this is what the Christian life is like.
Amen.
Now, I wanted to quote Jerome.
Oh,
this
yeah.
goes way back early in
yeah,
history.
Jerome goes way back.
All right, here's what I found interesting, and I think I found that from, I don't know where, how I found this.
Yeah.
This is back when I preached it.
Okay.
Sure, it was Logos Bible Software. Jerome. Quote, how often when I was living in the desert, in the vast solitude which gives to hermits a savage dwelling place,
yeah.
parched by a burning sun, how often did I fancy myself among the pleasures of Rome?
Wow.
I used to sit alone because I was filled with bitterness. Sackcloth disfigured my unshapely limbs and my skin from long neglect had become as black as an Ethiopian's. Tears and groans were every day my portion. And if drowsiness chanced to overcome my struggles against it, my bare bones, which hardly held together, clashed against the ground.
Wow.
He did all of that.
He still couldn't overcome.
He couldn't keep out of his mind the pleasures of Rome.
Isn't that something? Wow.
The people, the desert monks, people go out in solitude. They bring their own thoughts and sinful self. The flesh still struggles.
Yeah, right.
And here's the problem. By being in solitude and suffering out in the wilderness, he's away from the means of grace.
Or away from believers. It's only going
to, the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, prayer. Yeah. Well, pray out there, but not in a corporate setting.
Exactly.
It's just going to get worse.
It is, yes.
So I wanted to say that quote.
Right,
it's
beautiful.
You're not going to overcome this. You can go sit in a cave somewhere.
Yeah.
But guess what?
Right,
it's not gonna help. The flesh goes right out there with you.
That's right. The self-abasement and self-infliction and, hurting the body, Paul says in Colossians 2, I think it's around verse 23, says it's of no avail against the indulgence of the flesh.
It's of no value.
It's of no value. It won't help.
It's just the shadow.
Right, right.
The substance belongs to Christ.
Amen. Yeah, well, now, Bob, let me ask you this. When we go on to the next verse, we have a but here. And I don't know if this is a strong contrastive conjunction. Maybe you have that, where he says, but if you are led by the Spirit.
It's actually a de.
Oh, okay.
If but.
Okay, if but.
But you have really there a first-class conditional.
Sure, sure. So he's expecting that this is indeed the condition they're in, but if you are led by the Spirit, which he expects them to be, you are not under the law. Now, not being under the law is a very good thing, isn't it? Because if we're under the law, we're under a curse, we're under the stoichia. You had a whole list, I think it was 12 things. We're in the flesh, right. We're hellbound.
We're under the pedagogos.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that doesn't help us. But if we're led by the Spirit.
The stoichia are pounding
us. Yeah, the stoichia are pounding us under the law. So there's no good thing, but if we're led by the Spirit, then we're with Christ, aren't we?
This in the Greek is making a very profound statement. Not that all Scripture doesn't.
Right.
But this one, I thought, just really caught my attention.
Yeah.
When I have my original notes from the Greek right here.
Yeah.
This, de.
Yeah.
But if is a first class conditional.
Right.
Because you have it with, you are led, present, passive, indicative.
Okay.
So the first class conditional would be that terminology with the indicative.
Yep.
Okay, so you are led. Then, now this is implied.
Yeah.
Now you have a logical construction here, don't we?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, here's the then portion.
The then is you are not under law, literally. There's no definite article here.
Right.
But sometimes it's implied.
Yep.
Namas.
Yep.
And that's in the accusative, meaning it's the object of the sentence.
Right. Oh, that's really good.
So I looked this up back when I preached it so quite a few months ago. So, frankly, combining this with Galatians 3:3 and Galatians 3:10
Yes.
And what is coming up in Galatians.
Yeah.
Okay, as we go forward.
Right.
The law is linked to the flesh.
Right, exactly right.
You can't deny that's what Paul's saying.
Right, Bob, that's a great point. Yes, that's right. It's linked to the flesh. And by the way, let me just give a corroboration to that. And I would expect that preposition for under the law, is that hupa?
Yeah, it is.
It is hupa. Okay, well, here's another connection we should see from Romans. I just want to bring this one up because it ties into exactly what you said. Romans 7:14-15, he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin, or literally under sin. It's hupa, hamartia, I think, if I remember correctly. I don't have the Greek text in front of me. So being under the law is synonymous with being under the sin, which is part of the flesh.
Yeah, it's very profound.
Yeah.
If, as is the case, you are led by the Spirit, if you're a Christian.
Yeah.
Now, you can see that in Romans 8 as well.
Right.
The sons of God are the ones led by the Spirit.
Right.
If you don't have the Spirit, it says earlier in Romans 8,
right,
you're none of His.
Exactly. Amen.
Okay, yes. This isn't just a higher class Christian. It's Christians, period.
Right. And so if you're not led by the Spirit, then if you're under the law, it's synonymous with being under the flesh or under sin. Well, those in the flesh, you'd pointed out this numerous times, Bob, in Romans 8:8, those who are in the flesh cannot please
God.
Wow.
Now, led, let's talk about that word.
Yeah, yeah.
Ago.
Okay.
And it means to bring or carry.
Wow.
So you can find this on our cicministry.org website. I wrote an article quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
On the passage in Romans 8 about those led by the Spirit are the sons of God.
Right.
The name of the article is Carried by the Comforter.
Oh, I love it. Beautiful.
Okay. Now, here is the mistake that I ran into, and I believed for a while,
yeah,
that harmed me and my family a lot.
Okay.
Okay. That led meant get mystical,
sure,
guidance.
Yeah, some sort of extra.
So a voice
revelation
in my brain would say, go do this and not that. And that's supposedly the Spirit.
Right, right.
Okay, disconnected from Scripture, but just a voice.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so those led by the Spirit are the ones who obtain subjective guidance.
Right, right.
Okay, so I carried that idea along for a while. But at some point, when I decided this pietism wasn't doing it,
yeah,
and I went back to biblical teaching,
right,
and using the tools that I had gained when I went to Bible college.
Yeah.
And I started going back again to study the Bible in the Greek, although it was really tough because I only had these paper books.
Right, yeah.
And I hadn't used it for some years, and so I was flipping around.
Sure, you can do a lot of
lexicons.
Crunching, yeah. Number
doing a lot of page crunching.
Yep, exactly.
But then I found this way back when I was trying to find my way out of this hyper-charismatic, you know, second blessing, higher order Christian,
sure,
movement.
Yeah.
I was digging around that passage in the Greek.
Yeah.
And I found ago.
Right.
And I remembered that from Bible college. Well, that means bring or carry. That was on my flashcard.
Sure, yeah.
So I started doing some research and reading and studying.
Yeah.
But it's not what I thought it meant.
Wow.
And what it does mean is a great promise from God, not this idea that if I'm good enough, I can finally maybe hear the Spirit and go do something,
right,
that works out.
Yeah.
How did we know we really were hearing from the Spirit? Through pragmatism.
Wow, yes.
The car doesn't break.
The
pests stay out of the garden. We talked about that one,
right,
before.
Right, right.
Okay, no. Bring or carry. What this is telling us is that God takes His sons and daughters, carries them in His arms, and brings us to glory.
Wow. Just like He did with Israel through the wilderness.
Jesus said, I will send another comforter.
Yes, amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just as it says, that's a good cross-reference.
Yeah, He carried them out on eagle's
wings. In Exodus, He says, I brought you to myself.
Yes, exactly. He carried them
on eagle's wings.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, God is carrying us to Himself.
Right. Talk about God's initiative.
Isn't that better than, well, I got this idea in my head. Maybe it's God, maybe it's not.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right. Beautiful.
So there is one of the things we need to know. So
right. The
contrast, well, first of all, the logic. If then with the negative you are not under law, would say that those who walk by the Spirit are not under law works.
Amen.
As a means either for justification or for ongoing progress in the Christian life. Galatians 3:3.
Amen. Great
This is
connection.
What it says.
It's what it says.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is what it says. I can't
yep.
do a better job of
right
understanding this and interpreting it. And then it says in Galatians 3:10, just in the context of this book,
yeah,
to help us understand, Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, here we have logic again.
Yeah.
If you are of law works,
yeah,
then you are cursed.
Right.
How do we know that? Well, he's going to quote Old Testament scripture. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them.
Wow.
The implication.
We can't do that.
Nobody can.
Right, right.
So all, as many as are.
Right.
All. Okay.
Devastating.
So that is why law works are associated with the flesh. The flesh.
Right. Amen. Now, Bob, you know, I'm just thinking of the positive side then of the obedience when he talks about, hey, if in verse 17, for these are in opposition to one another. Before that, he says, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Before that, he says, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh if you walk by the spirit.
Amen.
What's so interesting is we're talking about staying in sanctification and progressing in the Christian walk just as we began, which is by faith.
By faith.
In a passage,
and by God's promises through his means.
Amen.
And therefore, okay, Luther was right. The Holy Spirit comes to us through the Word.
Amen.
Okay, the means of grace that God's provided is how we walk in the Spirit.
Right.
That's the things that enhance, because they're grounded in the promises of God, in obedience to the commands of God,
yes,
we do devote ourselves, as God tells us, to the apostles' teaching.
Amen.
We are devoted to prayer.
Yeah.
We do practice the Lord's Supper, which comes with a command.
That's right. That's
do
right.
Do this in remembrance of me. It's the imperative in the Greek.
Right.
It's a command of God.
Right. Amen.
These are the ways that God says we walk in the Spirit, and God sends the Holy Spirit to us.
Amen. That's okay. Right.
And we've got some other idea, some other scheme. You can't believe how many self-help / deeper life /
right
new revelations. Here's how we're going to solve our problems. Doesn't your life have problems? Well, yeah. There's something in your past that has to be uncovered or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Continually.
Right, absolutely.
No, what does God say?
Wow.
Well, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not cursed. You're not in the flesh. Therefore, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. So feed the Spirit.
Right. Amen. That's what we have to do. Exactly. You know, Bob, I love the catch that you had with ago there, the idea of being carried. In fact, I might just start writing that in my Bible. But if you are carried by the Spirit, you're not under the law.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking of is in Ephesians 2:8 through 10. I love that passage because it shows us the order of salvation and good works which flow from it. You know, for by grace you've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in the sphere of Christ Jesus for good works, so that we would walk in them. So God has done all this for us, hasn't he? And it's by the system of the Spirit, which is faith alone, not by works.
Let me close with this. We've gone plenty here, but I want to close with a slide I found from my sermon back whenever that was we were doing this.
Yeah.
Romans 8:4. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us.
Wow.
Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Mm.
Now here's what I said about it on my PowerPoint. The Holy Spirit inspired the Scriptures.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit indwells all believers.
Right.
The Holy Spirit intercedes in us and for us.
Right.
Romans 8:26, Galatians 4:6. The Holy Spirit testifies of Christ.
Yeah.
John 15:26. The Holy Spirit leads us into fellowship of one another in Christ. 1 John 1:3 and 1 John 4:2. And therefore, we have teaching in the scripture that's telling us what it means to walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
And it's not what most people think.
Right, right, right.
It's more simple, but yet, in a lot of ways, more profound.
Profound, yeah. And it's objective, not subjective. Amen. I love that. Amen. Well, we're out of time again for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We both want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, it was a real pleasure discussing these things again with you, and I look forward to getting back into the text. We're almost through chapter 5, and we'll be talking about here very soon the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, what a great section, and it's our privilege to be able to share with you, our dear listeners. May God give you what you need. Amen. To walk in the Spirit.
Amen. We want to remind all of you to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.
Amen.